Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And when I say all new, I mean it. We have, as of April 30th, unleashed what we think is the finest real estate website in the United States, and we encourage you to check it out. Not only does it have all the homes available here in Western New York, but all through upstate, and again, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and through a link to Boston, Massachusetts as well. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call there today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's a guarantee of ours. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk, no cost or risk at all, to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And in today's competitive market, that's an extremely important aspect of the home buying process. I was watching one of the home shows on television this morning, this flipper show, and they were talking, the real estate agent was talking with a flipper, and he was talking about the fact that they lost 50 or 60 transactions because they were not able to compete. They were relating it only to price, and that certainly has a lot to do with it. But the fact of the matter is, if it's only price, the price is going to win. But there's price and terms that effectively help go into the decision-making process for any seller. The terms of the deal are things like financing, closing date, inspections, approvals, etc., that are required before that contract closes. Anything you can remove along the way makes your offer more competitive. And one of the things that you can remove is effectively the whole financing issue by getting a pre-purchase commitment available only through Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700. Remember, that's personalized, and it's going to be a customized service, and we're going to knock your socks off. So call us today, 633-3700. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale here across upstate and also out to Phoenix, Arizona. And remember, all you have to do is dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want, you'll hear a brief description, and you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property. It's all automatic and just that fast. Anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. And there's a local number in Rochester and Syracuse and Albany, each of the markets we serve. But here in Western New York, 716-631-4800 is that number for the hotline. We are in a very active time of the real estate market. The month of June was extremely strong for us, and I think perhaps many real estate individuals throughout the country today. But the fact of life is that there's not enough listings on the market. There's not enough things to buy. So buyers are frustrated in many cases because they have to compete often for any given listing. And it may be an opportunity for you if you've ever thought about listing your house. One of the big questions, or selling your house, one of the big questions we get is, where will I go? And in many cases, the home that they would want ideally, someone would want ideally, is not available. And this is one of the things that we've been addressing here on the show over the past years, and actually past several years, actually, and that is what the developer market is doing to respond to that, builder-developer market. And one of the things that's happened in the city of Buffalo, for example, in all cities, is that older buildings have been adapted to a new use, in many cases apartments. The developers use the tax credits we've been talking about here in the show to make those properties available at affordable prices. And so people will sell their home. home they've been in for a long time and go into an apartment while they search for the house that they want if they choose to to buy again. So this is an opportunity for you today. So don't necessarily get hung up on the fact that the house of your dreams may not be available today if you've got a home that is clearly not appropriate for you and your family today. Call us and find out more, 633-9400, for more information about that. And remember, effectively, when you list your home with us, you're listing your home for free. Our agents, our professionals, will work very aggressively to market your home for sale to every potential buyer with no out-of-pocket expenses to you. As the seller, you only pay a commission only if we're successful in finding a buyer who's ready, willing, and able to purchase your home under terms and conditions acceptable to you. In addition, our professionals will hear these words through our professional that we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. So take advantage of this opportunity today, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional, 633-9400. And stop into one of our many open houses this weekend to learn more if you'd like. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, the Rochester Americans, and we also support our Buffalo Bisons. We are live on WBN 930 AM, and for those of you who would like to participate in today's show, all you have to do is dial us here in the studio at 803-0930 with any question you have about any aspect of real estate. If you're long distance, 1-800-616-9236. If you're long distance, in star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls, so join us on the air at our house. We have a very special show for you today. I have a guest coming in from Canada, and I'm hoping that he will be able to, he just let me know that he's tied up at the bridge, unfortunately. And I notified him to see if he could call in the meantime. We expect to have him here in the studio shortly, but he's just responded to me properly and legally that he's driving and cannot reply. But in any respect, we hope he gets here soon. My guest's name is Michael Petrocarlo. He is a developer from Canada. He lives in Toronto, and I'll let him tell his own story when he gets here. But he's working on a project here in Buffalo with us, as a matter of fact, and we're happy to discuss that project and Mr. Petrocarlo's and his partner's background and why this is a particularly unique and interesting opportunity for them and for the people here in Western New York. In the meantime, if you have any questions about real estate or would like to text us here in the studio at 30930, you can text us here with your questions or comments, or you can call us at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls. So the issues today, as I've started to mention about the inventory shortage, is really the issue of the I would say probably from going back in time 3 or 4 years and going forward for 4 or 5 years. I don't think this is going to change anytime soon, and for a number of reasons. One of those reasons is one of the things that we're going to be addressing today when Mr. Petrocarlo arrives, and that is that we have a situation in this country where during a recession, the number of new homes that were normally built simply didn't get built. Generally speaking, at a normal level, well, somewhere between 1.5 and 2 million new homes built in this country in any given year, and that had been normal for a long time and had actually been increasing during the time of the housing boom in the early 2000s. And then, of course, the recession hit, and we went to a low of around 400,000. So there was a gap of well over a million new housing units in terms of demand versus what actually was able to be built. And the problem with that is that just puts added pressure on the existing home inventory. In other words, if people can't buy a brand new home that they would really like to buy, may settle, and they in fact did settle for existing homes. And then if you combine that with recession, when people were deep in financial problems, largely related to real estate in many cases, homes were being sold at bargain prices, which further lessened demand for a brand new house. And then in addition to that, and I think one of the things that's under under-discussed is the whole, the issue of investors. As investors entered the market and swallowed up inventory at the low end, it made even fewer homes available to the general buying public. This is particularly important because some of these investors were not the flippers that you see on television. A group of investors emerged out of the recession that were high dollar investors that were extremely well funded, names you might know like Blackstone, where they bought large numbers of existing homes and bought and held them. They would fix them up for rental. And as a result, we have converted a lot of our parts of this country from being predominantly homeowner-occupied units to renter-occupied units. Some people were even calling this emergence a renter's nation. Now, I don't think we're anywhere near that level because you look at the total percentage of owner-occupied units in this country today, it's still among the highest in the world, somewhere around 63 or 64%. I'm delighted to say that my guest has finally arrived from Canada. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Now we'll get you set up with the right microphone and we'll be all set to go. I've been telling our listeners, Michael, about the housing shortage, the inventory shortage in this country. And that's kind of one of the things that may have attracted you to our community. But tell us, first of all, a little bit about Michael Petrocarlo.
My family immigrated to the west side of Buffalo in the early 1900s, so I've always felt like part of the community here. Born on the lower west side, moved to Niagara Falls where I went to high school, and then ultimately ended up in Toronto via Atlanta for undergrad, and then New York City for a number of years. So as I watched Buffalo sort of change over the past 15 years and the real estate market really blossom, I saw an opportunity here. And driving around the old neighborhood, I noticed this beautiful building for sale at the corner of Bird and Hoyt. It's the old Bethlehem Presbyterian Church. And it struck me what a wonderful opportunity this would be to turn it into something drawing on its history, but also able to serve the community in a new way. The building is 100 years old. It was operated as a church until 2008, I believe, and it was sitting more or less vacant, disused. So that's the that's what originally attracted me to the building.
So you are among a growing group of people from Canada and also other parts of the world. We have people from the Far East and we have people from Europe that are investing here in town. Was the price factor anything that really attracted you back to Buffalo? The fact that there appeared to be, by relative terms and in terms of pricing in the rest of the world, a bargain here?
Absolutely, especially compared to the Toronto market. I'd have to agree with that 100%.
You know, I was up in Toronto recently with some friends, and we were driving around. If you could possibly drive around, it is unbelievable, the traffic. Everything seems to be under construction, and it's really I admire you for your stamina just getting around that city. And it's so easy to get around here, even with the construction that we've got going on. But what struck me was that a lot of the neighborhoods that really had their own character in the downtown area have really kind of gone away, and we've got a lot of steel and glass going up. Is almost every block, it looks like another block.
Absolutely. My neighborhood is called Liberty Village, which is just north of where the C&E grounds are. If you've ever driven on the QEW, you know where that is. Mm-hmm. And the neighborhood is almost segmented in half. Half of it is protected buildings on the historic registry, and the other half is steel and glass condos. I'm fortunate enough to live in an adaptive reuse building with a lot of character.
I imagine pressure is on buildings like that just to be sold, to group together, to knock down so you can build another steel and glass building.
It's absolutely true. Another thing that I noticed is that because these buildings are so unique and have so much character, they tend to rise in value much faster than those cookie cutter, so to speak, steel and glass condos. But yes, there is a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure for multi-unit housing and as you mentioned. And the other thing I've noticed in some of these neighborhoods is that because the commercial rents are so high, we're losing a lot of that, those mom and pop businesses, a lot of those business, small businesses that bring character, restaurants that bring ethnic cuisine, and they're being replaced by franchises and chain restaurants, which, you know, have their own character, but is different than what the neighborhood was used to.
You know, as I look at the Canadian market as an outsider and an observer, though, it seems to me there's been a few points in time that have really transitioned the entire Canadian real estate market. One of those points in time, and I think perhaps a dramatic point in time, was when Hong Kong, which there's in the news again today, these days with the uprisings there, Hong Kong, when it converted from British rule to Chinese rule, there was a flight of capital out of Hong Kong, and several countries saw that as an opportunity, Singapore, United States to a much lesser degree, but certainly Canada did. And they created an incentive for people to bring cash into the country and thus earn a citizenship and effectively through a process that was designed specifically for that process, for that type of individual or family. And as a result, cities like Vancouver became almost overnight 25% of Chinese Canadian citizens. And I imagine Toronto had something similar.
I can't speak to the statistics specifically, but I do know that there are a lot of investment properties not owner-occupied in Toronto, which is pushing demand up because these properties are owned by foreigners and essentially taken off the market. So yeah, it does drive prices up.
You know, we see something similar in New York City, as a lot of Europeans from Latin America, even Far East, buy properties in New York City as second homes or third or fourth or fifth homes. There's a lot of buildings that are fully owner occupied technically, but there may be a third of the people actually living there that own.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this, is this true in Canada as well?
From what I understand, it is, yeah.
Now, this also affects those local businesses that you referred to before, because if there's fewer people there, there's going to be less demand for their goods and services that they're selling. And this is, you know, this is something, I don't know if there's been any studies of this done, but I've been kind of feeling around, reading what I can about this, and there's not a lot of research yet, but I wonder what the long-term effect is going to be on cities like Toronto or New York or Miami, San Francisco, Seattle even, Washington, D.C., where you've got a lot of non-resident owners, I guess is the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole issue that we could talk the rest of the day about. I really want to talk to you about your interest here in Western New York, which is the important thing. So what's your project called, and what's the state of it right now?
The project is Cornerstone Lofts. As I mentioned, the adaptive reuse of a former church at the corner of Bird Avenue and Hoyt, which is just a couple blocks south of the Hotel Henry and just a few blocks away from the Elmwood District.
And what's it going to be?
The plan is to convert the church into six condominium units, six one-bedroom units, five two-bedroom units, and one three-bedroom unit, which is going to be a feature unit, and have another room in the bell tower, which I think is going to be really, really beautiful.
So a total of 12 units?
12 units in total, yeah.
And what's your timeline?
We hope to break ground this month and be finished within the next 8 to 10 months.
And then the process, as it grinds through the state of New York, the Attorney General,
yes,
it has to happen before you can actually offer them for sale. And that's not the purpose of our discussion this morning. Our purpose is just to find out more about the project itself and learn a little bit about you. And tell us a little about your partner, Mark.
Mark McGrory, I knew he came recommended to me from a couple of different persons in my network. Mark has a lot of experience with adaptive reuse. He did he did quite a few buildings in South Carolina, and most recently he did a very similar church conversion in downtown Toronto. So I was able to get him interested in the project, and he was a great fit.
Mm-hmm. And he's a Canadian citizen.
He is a dual citizen, I believe. But don't quote me on that.
Anyway, he does have a Canadian accent.
He does, yeah.
A little bit of a giveaway. But so his expertise is really what helped you to decide to approach a project like this.
Correct. I had a vision for it, and Mark really was able to bring that tactical expertise to the team.
And so your fundamental business is real estate investment.
Not exactly. My fundamental business is marketing, actually. Mm-hmm. Real estate investment has always been an interest to me. Mm-hmm. And as I saw the opportunity in Buffalo emerge, I took a chance.
Fast forward a couple of years. Let's assume this goes well. Would you look at other projects in our town?
Absolutely.
So this is hopefully the beginning of something.
That is my hope, yes.
So let's make sure it's a success. So from this perspective, you've got a short runway to beginning the project?
Yes. We plan to break ground within the month of July.
All approvals are in place?
All the approvals are in place. The community was especially excited for the project, not only because it brought life back to an unoccupied building, but what it would do for their property values. And they really liked the vision of the building and what we were trying to do there.
And I think that's always a good thing because, unfortunately, we hear a lot of resistance. We hear of a lot of resistance to most development projects in our community. And we'll be right back with more from Our House to Yours after these important messages.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. I encourage you to go there today, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and Boston through our links. And you'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, mortgage, title, insurance, fixing up your home. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, and the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs that allow you to, among other things, roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before but live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details and ask about that pre-purchase commitment I mentioned earlier in the show, and even our warm home loan, which is a pleasant surprise, for particularly for your children. 633-3700. Excuse me. And if you just prefer to pick up the phone and call about anything relative to real estate, you can call the Hunt Customer Service Center at 716-633-9400. Only one of its kind in North America. One of our customer service reps will instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for your particular needs, whether you're considering buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's a seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA professional that you can meet at one of our many open houses this weekend. I'm in the studio today with Michael Petricarlo, who is a developer and who's working on a project here in Buffalo. He resides in Canada, and he's one of a group of individuals that have chosen to look at Western New York for, among other reasons, our seeming bargains compared to where some of our investors from out of town come from. And, you know, it's interesting, Michael, as I've talked to some of these individuals and groups, they come in here all wide-eyed and they say, gee, you know, how can you buy something for this cheap? And then they realize that on the back end of this, there's only a certain upside that they're going to get out of it. There's a glass ceiling in terms of the rents and in terms of even the sale price of condominiums as your plan proposes. One of the things that they learn about, though, quickly are the tax credits available for adaptive reuse of older buildings that qualify. Have you looked into those kinds of things in your project?
We have, and the unfortunate state as tax credits apply to churches are that you cannot subdivide the sanctuary area.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can imagine, it's very difficult to create living space without using that area of the building. So we weren't eligible for tax credits. However, even with the relatively smaller upside, the project worked. The numbers look good, and we're hoping and we're really excited to break ground and get started.
Your price point will be where?
It will be for the one bedroom units. I think we're looking at in the 200K range,
mm-hmm.
and the two bedroom units 250 to 300K range. These are preliminary numbers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would seem to be a very favorable price point in today's world.
I think so, especially when you compare it to a detached home, for example. A 50 to 60 year old building, which is going to require a lot of work. You're never sure what you're getting into in terms of structural longevity, foundational issues. For me, the attractiveness of a condominium is that they really are, to use the phrase, turnkey,
mm-hmm.
Ready to live in, appropriate for a downtown lifestyle, if you will, and relatively worry-free.
Mm-hmm.
I think for a younger professional demographic, this will be a really, really attractive option.
There's really two categories of attractiveness that we find to be most valuable to a demographic that we all in our real estate world seem to want to be to attract, and that is the millennial generation, or mm-hmm. even younger, the Gen Z as they come up, because there's a myth out there that these two generations don't want to own their own home, and we find exactly the opposite, that people, if they have any kind of idea that they're going to be in a community for a while, they want a piece of the action. They don't want to be left behind. It's nice and easy to rent, but sooner or later, it's also a better idea to own.
I couldn't agree with you more. Why wouldn't you want to build equity for more or less what you're paying on rent every month anyway? It just makes financial sense.
So that's the first thing, is price attractiveness and the ability to ease of lifestyle. If I wanted to rent an apartment, one of the attractiveness things, I just, when I'm done, here are the keys, I'm out of here. When I leave, and also when I just go to the store, I just lock it up and I go. And the same thing is true for condominiums, and you pointed that out. The other thing that is even perhaps more impactful on a person's decision is what we call a walkable neighborhood. So tell us about the neighborhood there. You mentioned a little bit about its proximity to the Henry and to Elmwood Avenue, but what makes this property fit into that criteria?
Well, unlike a lot of adaptive reuse, which use factory or industrial buildings, which are located outside of a residential area, this is a church that was part of the fabric of the community. So it's right in the middle of an incredibly walkable neighborhood. And as I got to know some of the people surrounding the building, it was so welcoming to me how much pride they had in their homes and in their community and their neighbors. It really does feel like you're part of something. Something really attractive about Buffalo that maybe you wouldn't find in a bigger city like Toronto.
And that's one of the great things about our community, obviously, are our neighborhoods. And that neighborhood has been through kind of a life cycle.
Yeah.
Obviously, there was when it was in the early 1900s when that community was built, our community was made up of ethnic neighborhoods, and that certainly was one of those neighborhoods. And I keep bumping into people whose parents grew up there, and they grew up there, went to high school nearby and everything else. And it's refreshing to hear those stories. But it went through a period of decline, as many neighborhoods do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much on the rebound now. I of course have driven around a lot, as you have, and yeah. And it's refreshing to see that happen. Yet there's still the need for services, and do you believe the services are there? And if so, what would a what would a buyer find in terms of walking to restaurants and other services?
Well, the Buffalo State campus is less than a 5-minute walk, of course. The art museums, the Albright Knox and the Brookfield are a 10-minute walk. Grant Street is close by, so much character there. And recently I went for lunch. There's a new sort of fast, quick-service Italian, casual Italian place. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a great lunch. So I think you're going to start to see more and more. Mm-hmm. Coffee shops, restaurants, just amenities of the neighborhood, if you will.
One of the criticisms of what happens in neighborhoods like that is that gentrification pushes people out. And I don't think it pushes people to the extent that they just weigh their financial options and they see an opportunity to do very well in the sale of their home where they never anticipated that would happen. And they say, well, okay, sounds good to me. But then they have the same problem that I mentioned earlier in the show, which is, where do I go?
Right.
And so this is one of the things that causes controversy in neighborhoods.
Well, we see this a lot in Toronto as well. Some of the older neighborhoods, which were populated by immigrants, there's a strong Portuguese community, a strong Italian community. And, you know, as you walk through some of these neighborhoods now, Queen Street West, King Street West, just sort of between the main thoroughfares, there are all these older houses from the built in the 30s and 40s that are still occupied by the original owners, and you know, they're worth upwards of $1.5 million now, which I think is a really nice retirement fund.
Right, and it comes as a shock to these people sometimes. It's kind of the old story when a young person buys a house and they bring their parents in to take a look at it before they close, and the father turns to him and says, You paid how much for this place? Are you? But that's the bad news for because all of a sudden the young person sweat will appear on their brow. And, you think I ever paid, Dad? Well, I wouldn't pay more than $50,000 for this house. And then they get the Uncle Louie lecture. But anyway, the other side of that is the people when they don't know and they don't have somebody chirping in their ear like that they find a windfall, and it turns out to be a good thing. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing in that particular neighborhood, and there's a bunch of neighborhoods that we've talked about on this show in our community here that are going through this. But there's always a little bit of controversy, and I was very glad to hear in the process of your work on this particular development that the community was very much in favor of this. Did you do a public kind of conference? Or
we did. We went door to door and flyered all the houses in the radius and had a public consultation, and the support was overwhelming. Even I was surprised by the level of encouragement to do this, yeah.
Is it a matter that they just want to see kind of a vacant building in the community brought back to life, or is it self-interest too, to see that investment? It has to help them.
I think it's a bit of both for sure, but I would say for the majority of people that I spoke to, just seeing some life come back to that building and seeing it reused again and become a part of the community again, I think was really what excited them.
And that neighborhood has been through and continues to go through kind of a generational transition. Did you find in that community as many younger people as you did people that have been there for a while?
For sure we did. And again, you know, the younger homeowners, just as much pride in their community and their neighborhood and their homes as do the people who have been living there for years. It was really a pleasant experience.
And we'll be right back with more from Our House Tours after these important messages. Welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. At HuntRealEstate.com, you'll find not one, but three algorithms to help you define the value of your home or any home, anywhere in the United States, by the way. It's a pretty cool system. And if you put a property in there, you can have it refreshed anytime, the valuation refreshed, or we will push to you an update on a regular basis so that you'll know exactly what your property or property you've got in mind may be worth on today's market. And those algorithms are the most sophisticated in the industry. I encourage you to take a look. Many of you may look at one of the national websites that has also has an algorithm on it. We've got that on our website too, so you don't have to go there. And I think you know what I'm talking about if you have any idea about this whole process. It's right there at huntrealestate.com. You need to go no further. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700. Ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment, which I've talked about many times on this show. And I also mention often about the interest rates today. Those of you that follow financial markets will know that there's a upcoming meeting of the Federal Reserve, and who knows, but they're predicting maybe another rate decrease this time around, maybe not, who knows. There's a debate every morning on television, the financial channels, if you care to watch. But the fact of the matter is there is downward pressure on interest rates, which I never thought I'd see. I figured they couldn't get any lower, and I kept telling you that over the last couple of years. But they are now at or near historic lows again. And I encourage you to, if you've thought about the process, to enter the market and call Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. Ask about how we can customize a program for you, because it's very important that you at least know where you are in the market today. And as we're talking about here with my guest, Michael Petracarlo, we've been talking about the affordability of housing here in our community, among which, among the things that will be offered is a product that he is bringing to market called the Cornerstone Lofts, and that's been a little bit of the focus. We've been kind of going all over the place, Michael, but I want to get back to the subject at hand here if we can. But it is an interesting time in the market from a financial standpoint today. You know, I'm hearing again for the first time from just casually as I'm around the community, should I jump into the market now or should I wait? Will rates come down? And my response is, let's assume they do. What do you think that'll do to prices? It has to increase prices, ultimately, eventually. But we're talking about such a teeny movement either way that that's about as much as we can expect. Maybe on the outside it's going to be a quarter point or an eighth of a point in one direction or another, which really shouldn't be a factor in today's market. You follow the market. What do you see?
I think that trying to time the markets is a lost cause. I think that if you're making an investment for your family, for your future, and you have the means to enter the market, I wouldn't hesitate at all. And I agree with your point about small fluctuations not really making a big deal down the road. And how much appreciation would you lose as a trade-off, mm-hmm. for example, if you wait?
You know, it's interesting. This week alone, some of the analysts were talking about the only sector of the economy in this country that's been lagging has been housing. And that surprised me to hear that because they relate back to not so much the number of transactions, which are about equal with last year on a year-over-year basis, month by month. It's a matter of and it's not even a matter of affordability, except in some cities. And you've got real housing shortages and a crisis, for example, in a city like San Francisco. Whereas if you go to New York City has been in a housing recession for 3 years. Hmm. So you've got a wide disparity across the country, and then you've got the rest of us in the middle of the country, which we're kind of happy where we are, I think, at this stage of the game. In the times of the recession, we felt kind of good because we never had a boom we never had a bubble that could burst, so to speak. At the same time, we didn't experience the upside in terms of appreciation that a lot of the other parts of the country experienced. So our downside was less, but our upside had been much less before as well. Now we've had a steady and consistent movement forward in our whole housing perspective here in our community. So you're bringing a product to market that fits into kind of the sweet spot in the market as we see it today. We're seeing multiple offers, and how have you assessed demand? You're a marketing person. How have you assessed demand for the product that you're bringing to market?
Well, before we even thought about what the product would look like, I did a lot of market research, driving around, talking to people, collecting as much secondary research from internet sources as I could, looking at trends, and seeing that valuations of Buffalo housing were increasing, but at a rate where it commensurate to where the economy, the community, the area economy was increasing too. In other words, they were being backed up by real forces and not by a bubble. So that gave me a lot of encouragement and belief in the marketplace. So I think that prices are comfortable and where they should be.
How do you identify those real forces?
Well, you look at some of the bigger investments that are happening in the area and look around and see the development. And, of course, the incentives that are offered by the Buffalo Billion and the Buffalo Billion Part 2. And there was just a lot of support for developing this economy. There was a good deal of employment and a general positive interest in what Buffalo was becoming. It was sort of coming back into its own again as one of the wealthiest cities in the country in the early part of the century and sort of going through a decline when manufacturing started to leave the United States and now sort of coming back and becoming a great city as it was.
Well, that's very encouraging. I know. I hope our listeners feel a little pumped up when they hear things like that, because I certainly do. But as we look at those forces, and one of the things that we study on this show and in my conversations and the community is at large, is the issue of momentum. And as you look at those forces, are in your mind, are they continue to move in the right direction? Are they slowing? Are we reaching a kind of a crest? I mean, the Buffalo Billion is pretty much invested, as is Round 2, or a lot of it anyway. And what do you see?
I don't think we're quite at a plateau, because the momentum is still driving. You're still seeing corporate interest in the area. You're still seeing population increase, from what I understand. So these are all very positive for the economy.
Well, first of all, I forgot to mention, or not first of all, but I forgot to mention that you celebrated, I was going to say Dominion Day, Canada Day on July 1st. Happy Canada Day to all our Canadian listeners, and certainly to you and your family, Michael, and also happy 4th of July to all of our listeners. I mention that because one of the things that we focus on in this community, we love our festivals, we love our events, and we've got an event going on downtown right now at Canal Side with the tall ships in the harbor, and it's pretty impressive. I guess they were interviewing some people on television this morning about the comfortable flow of people to and from the site, which is a little peninsula there, right, William Kay's and the lighthouse there, which you would think would be totally jammed, but they said there were no incidents, no problems at all. So it's an amazing thing to see. And they interviewed a couple people about the how that has transitioned, and they interviewed a guy from Arizona who was saying that he came to Buffalo for vacation, which is kind of interesting. So what you're saying, I think, is true. I think people, the word is getting out. We've interviewed many people on this show that are responsible for either interpreting that mood or promoting it. And it's interesting to see that it does have legs and it keeps going, and that's what we're hoping will continue. And as we look at neighborhofds like where the Cornerstone Lofts are, in my mind, these are the neighborhoods where there's extreme opportunity. So as you look around your project, are there other opportunities? Are they house by house, in your opinion?
It's more or less house by house in the area between Cornerstone and Elmwood. However, you know, on the west side is the waterfront, and I believe there's still some opportunity there.
So it's interesting, the Elmwood Village neighborhood in particular, and it's I don't know if we've got a hard defining line for that neighborhood, but just to the west of or to the east of you at the corner of Elmwood and Forest, mm-hmm. there's going to be another condominium development. How, do you see them as competition or just perhaps adding to the demand in the neighborhood?
I take a positive outlook and see it as a category builder. There's just not a lot of condominium stock in Buffalo. So I think that, you know, the more that come online presents it as an increasingly viable option to detached homes. So I And from what I understand, that's going to be a great project too. So I look forward to seeing that.
The thing that we get hung up on here in Buffalo, because we tend to get hung up on a few things, one of them is parking. And the west side was built at a time, most of that housing was built at a time when cars were, you know, a luxury, and many homes don't have driveways, and so the parking is on the street. How will you accommodate the new residents of Cornerstone Lofts?
We have a lot actually adjacent to the church, which will accommodate 13 spaces. So at least one for every unit.
So that's a very healthy situation. We're seeing in downtown Buffalo, there's kind of two forces going on, and I'm sure you see this in Toronto as well. One is we can't all be driving cars all the time with one person in a car with empty seats all around us just because.
It's inefficient. Yeah.
It's terribly inefficient. And yet public transportation, particularly in a town like Buffalo and many of our neighborhoods, it's not cool. There's not enough. Our ridership is going down. So this is kind of a dilemma that we have right now. So, and I don't know if you see this as a factor that may limit the continued development of neighborhoods around Cornerstone Lofts or not.
It's a tough question because, using Toronto as an example, our public transit system there is severely lacking for what it should be at the size of that city. The Toronto politicians had an opportunity in the 70s and then again in the 80s to make the investment, but ultimately the population didn't support the added tax burden. So the investment was never made, and as a result, the Toronto Transit Commission is overtaxed in terms of where it goes and who it serves. I can't speak very much to Buffalo's situation, but I do agree that we're sort of in a transitional phase where if you live and work downtown, there's not much need for a car. For example, I don't use mine commuting back and forth to work. I take transit. A lot of people bike. A lot of people walk. And if that's the case, then you shouldn't have to buy a parking spot if you don't want one. On the other hand, if you're dependent on your car to get around the city, then Cornerstone will accommodate you there too. So.
So we got about a minute left here, Michael, and I just I don't want to end on kind of a controversial note. Parking is a controversial topic here in Buffalo.
Okay.
So if you were to leave our listeners with any particular thought about Cornerstone Lofts or how they might find out more, what would you suggest?
I'd suggest they visit 1909cornerstone.com, 1909cornerstone.com, and learn a bit more about the project. Leave your email, and we'll be sure to continuously update you on the status of the project.
Because we can't exactly say they're for sale yet.
Can't say that.
We want to respect our people and government. Anyway, Michael Petrocalo, developer of 1909 Cornerstone Lofts, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's my pleasure.
I'd like to thank our listeners. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate New York is hunt country.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.